This episode is sponsored by Novo. They're not a bank, but they're a fintech company. And I've been using them since January of this year, so almost 6 months, to basically help me get my business shit in order. So for those of you who know me, you know things have been super messy and rocky in business for me. And that's like mostly anyone, but those people online who say things are perfect and they understand it are completely full of shit. It's been messy. And now finally, 3 years later, I wanted to get my shit in order, right? I wanted to make sure I had money for taxes and I wanted to send out invoices that were branded and looked nice. Now I'm in the process of being able to hire someone and I want to be able to do payroll, but I don't want to be all over the place in addition to dealing with a bank that unfortunately I don't trust, because I don't know if you guys are anything like me, but I'm really sick of giving my money away to other banking institutions and the government and all these places. But when I found Novo, I was like sold. I'm obsessed with them. They've helped me streamline so many things in my business. Not to mention, I have all these other tools and things that have made my life so much easier, where I don't have to pay for some invoicing provider. I don't have to pay for payroll services. Even if I get paid by clients, it gets to me sooner because they've worked with all these different products to allow for funds to enter your account sooner. On top of all of this, I now have a reserve to keep for taxes. So like, they have made my life so much easier. And now for the first time in 3 years, I finally feel like a legit business owner and feel like I actually can not only save money, but actually process things and work my business in a way that's like legit. So if you're anything like me and you were scrambling and you're like, I don't know how to get my business in order financially, I don't know how to send invoices or do these things that would make me look legit in business, consider Novo. I'm obsessed with them. To make an account, it's completely free and you can find more information in our description or reach out to me if you have any questions. Hope you guys enjoy. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Corporate Quitter. Today's guest, I was pleasantly surprised at how twisty and turny the conversation went, but her name is Jaden Heck, and though she's a mom, a wife, and a professional dancer, bar instructor, and I believe also a Pilates instructor, she is also the founder of Glow Movement. So Glow Movement, which, right, hence the name, it's helping women find their inner glow, though it predominantly focuses on low-impact workouts as the kind of deciding factor of like how to physically create the glow within. She really does use her background from being a professional dancer and dealing with eating disorders and things like that to really shed light on, hey, this is how you fuel your body. These are the things that you can do to really like elevate your life, right? In the physical sense, but also in these other ways of using different tools to, again, create that inner and outer glow. And now the conversation that I had with Jaden, I thought was going to be very much focused on like business, right? So like, how did you get started? How did you transition from corporate, you know, from being a professional dancer to then going to corporate to then becoming a business owner, and then even talking about how being a mom, you know, like impacted or made her business better, you know, all of those things. But we really ended up going down a lot of rabbit holes that both of us were not expecting. Like we got along so well. The flow was there. We naturally felt like we were having drinks with girlfriends who we were just catching up with, which is like the best thing. I love when I have interviews like that with people who I truly connect with. And we just have a great time getting to know each other. But this conversation, I think for many, especially the women listeners, are really going to benefit from hearing what Jaden has to say, because a lot of the things that we talked about are things that as ambitious people are worrisome, right? Like how to support my body so that I can withstand the constant creation or the constant sort of building of a business that takes every little bit and piece from you, right? But whether it's energy or money or like whatever it is. And then even kind of even more in-depth conversations about like, well, if I even become a business owner, can I even become a mom? Like if I actually become a mom, will it ruin my career? Will it make it better? Or will it do what everyone else says it does, where like you quote unquote can't do it all or have it all? And so we talk in detail about a lot of things that I'm not going to share here because I want you to listen, but there are a couple of things that Jaden is going through personally right now that I applaud her for her bravery in sharing, because they're very much new open wounds versus like scabs that have healed and she's processed. She is live processing it with us and with her audience, but I just have to say I had a really great time during this interview and I just hope that you guys enjoy the episode. Okay, so I met Jaden through Rebecca, who was a guest a couple of weeks ago, and Jaden is just, she has such an interesting like background. Basically, she was an EA and then she was a dancer and now she's been in business and all of that. And one of the things that I really related to with Jaden is I also was an EA or an executive assistant. So we have that in common, which is so funny because I think a lot of people think executive assistants are kind of like the bottom of the barrel, like, you know, can't really do all these things, but then we end up being the most adaptable in business. And I mean, that's how I see myself. And I'm sure you probably think of the same thing. But before we kind of go down that route of, again, pivoting from corporate into now you being a business owner, right? Running Glow Movement and all the things you've gone through. Can you give a little bit of background of like, number one, how the hell did you become a dancer? And like, can you give us a
Absolutely.
little bit of ex like, you know, shed some light on that experience and how you pivoted from being a dancer to an assistant to then being a business owner?
Yes. Oh my gosh, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here today and to share a little bit about my story and hope that it might help somebody else. But yeah, so to give a little background on me, I mean, when I was 7 years old, I wrote in my journal that I would become a professional dancer. So just to kind of paint that picture for you, like from a very young age, I was disciplined and passionate about dance. And I couldn't quite put a pin on why, but I just had this natural ability and was really talented. And I loved it, like, absolutely loved it. And so I think, like, setting the precedence of that from a young age, it took with me, you know, up until high school and college. That feeling never faded of wanting to pursue this career in dance. So, you know, when I got into University of Arizona's dance program, I was like, yes, this is like my big moment to like finally like train and be surrounded by other aspiring like pre-professional dancers. And that was a big piece in the journey for me to take me to my professional career. It was also a very like testing experience for me too, because in that moment was a lot of pressures when it comes to body image and comparison and booking the part. And it got really, really real. So like my 7-year-old self who just loved dance and just wanted to share it just kind of, it evolved into this really competitive, mentally draining thing for me. So when I was on stage, that was the biggest place for me to just fully let go and give to the audience. When I was training and behind the scenes, it wasn't always so pretty, if I'm being completely honest.
It
And
looks a little hard, like it looks unsexy. Like from the videos I've seen on TikTok of like girls like literally taking like their ballerina slippers and like literally like throwing them against the
yes.
floor and breaking the cement bottoms of them and like cracking this. And like even if we're taking into context you at 7 years old, very similar to probably the experience that you see with like dance moms, right? That whole thing with those like, I mean, for a kid to go through that, let alone an adult, like it's egregious. It's a lie. And
Yes.
then like having the pressure to be skinny and like you have to be bone thin. I don't know what sort of dance you were in, but like
Mostly
it's
ballet, so 100%. And I felt like I
yeah.
had to grow up fast. Like it was like really showing strength really fast at a young age. And also just like not having much of a social life. I spent so many summers out and training that I didn't really have, I think, like a normal childhood because I was so dedicated. But you know, looking back at that, I think, yes, of course, it was passion. But while I was growing up, I was going through, you know, some stuff with my family. So my mom was diagnosed with cancer when I was really little, and she still fights it to this day. So I almost feel like because there was so much out of my control, the one thing I could control was showing up to dance class, slicking my hair back, working as hard as I could, perfecting my art. And that's where I put my energy.
I can't imagine as a child watching your mother do that and almost like not that you had to parent yourself, but I can imagine there's a component of that of like mom's struggling, I have to kind of mother myself, right? And
For sure.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's how my brain would probably translate in an event like that. Now, I don't want to make this whole thing about dance, but like I'm super curious, how much were you training for that? And also like is it dance to me, and much like a lot of the arts, if you will, like there's kind of like a shelf life, right? Like if you're like after 30, like it's kind of like hard to remain in that field, much like NFL players and whoever else,
Right.
right?
Right. No, absolutely. Like muscles in your body, like your hips, your rotators, things just take a lot of toll. I mean, being on pointe shoes, like you had brought up too, it takes a lot of toll on your body and on your mind, and taking care of yourself and taking care of your wellness and your mental health is so important, and things that I wish I did a little bit more of, you know, in the time being. But my last tour, I danced with a company called Sweetbird, and it was like the dream company. It was the most amazing experience. And my career did end prematurely. COVID, we were actually in France at the time and got sent home from tour. And we all were kind of like, oh, we'll be back in no time, right? And then I'm like, we flew back home and I'm in my little apartment in Minneapolis. And I'm like, what the heck do I do next? So it kind of did, it ended prematurely, but it all worked out the way it was supposed to, because I really took the passion and the things I learned within dance, like the body image and finding my wellness and my mental health. And I took that into this business endeavor back in 2020, which was originally called Ready Fit, which I don't know if I told you that.
You told me a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I rebranded recently as Glow Movement, and I look at it as a completely new business. It's like me as a mom, Glow Movement, when Ready Fit was like Jaden as like a career shift ending, just trying to figure herself out. How do I do something I'm passionate about and monetize? Because at that point, I look back at that, I'm like, I don't even know who that was, but I had to do that to figure out who I am 4 years later.
Now, it's interesting because ballerinas specifically, like, okay, maybe it doesn't give the best picture, but I watched Black Swan not too long ago. It was the first time I watched it, and it gave me like such an insight into the psychological shit that you guys deal with. I mean, right, you can see it. It's hard on the body, it's hard on everything, and the competitive nature and who's going to be the lead and all that stuff. But like, what happens to a ballerina, like, I guess after her heyday? Like, what was was there like a plan of like, oh, I'll do this for this many years and then I'll pivot? Or like, was even you then pivoting to be an executive assistant before you actually started to do Ready Fit and then Glow Movement? Was that in the cards, or was kind of like, we'll see what happens?
You know, I've always wanted to be a mom, and I knew at some point that would happen. I just didn't expect it to happen so early. Mm-hmm. So that was always in the back of my mind. I love kids. I'm like such an empath. I'm such a caregiver. Like, it is such a big piece of me. And, you know, there are moments still to this day where I'm like, what would it be like if I was still dancing and following that passion and being a mom? And the thing is, I had to move on from it. I had to escape from it a little bit because, I mean, at a lowest point while I was at U of A, it got really dark. I was abusing laxatives and weight loss pills. I was counting my calories in apps. I was weighing myself like consistently. I would work out after training from 9 to 5. And I'm not kidding. We would train all day, Monday through Friday, even weekends for rehearsals. And I would still go to the gym and work my butt off because I felt like this need to have to be perfect, because I wanted to book the best part. Mm-hmm. And that external validation was that's what mattered. And I was like so far away from my own worth, and my own self-worth was like non-existent. So I really had to remove myself from it. And of course, that natural ability and that gift I had, I think it served its perfect purpose in its time. And now it's translated into this new space to impact women in a way to find movement that they enjoy doing and not have to kill themselves in the process.
Which, like, amen to that, because at one point in my life, similarly to you, but obviously not as serious in the sense of, right, your movement was literally your job. I also severely had problems with the eating disorder, like, just the same thing, counting calories, macros, always trying to do the high protein, low
so consuming.
God forbid I had sugar or a carb, I would like get into a tizzy right? about it. Like, it consumed my life so much. And even though now I would say like 10 pounds heavier, whether that's muscle or fat, whatever, like, I have energy again, like, life is more enjoyable. And even, I love that you stress the fact of like low impact movement, like actual movement you enjoy, because there's so many different things that you can do to actually create movement and right sweat and build muscle and stuff, that
Absolutely.
It's not you doing a HIIT class 5 days a week and then doing this and doing that and like counting the calories. You can eat like actual good food, which I love. You have a lot of reels that are like, this is what I ate in a day, like an actual realistic viewpoint of what a whole meal looks like, or a whole day's worth of meals, but also doing movement that like you actually enjoy, whether it be dance or Pilates, like whatever it is, walking. It's a nice change that we're seeing in this body positivity movement that you're doing, so, or contributing to.
No, absolutely. And I think that's the key thing is to find movement that you enjoy doing. And that can be different for everybody. And because I had that past experience, and it sounds like you had a similar experience of feeling this unhealthy relationship with food and with exercise, and our experience and the movement that like maybe we enjoy doing will be different than our best friends. And that's also okay. Like staying in your lane, there's so much noise. Like you can just like search a hashtag of wellness and see a million and ten things pop
Oh
up.
my
So
God. And
you
like so many
really.
of them are not even realistic. I'm like,
Oh,
I
I
can't do
know.
that. There's no
Oh
way.
my gosh, there's no way. I just saw something recently. It was like this parasite cleanse, and then like the fear inside of me like
Oh my
emerged.
God.
It was so graphic. I was like, oh, I'm like, oh my God, is that in me? Like I
My
started to
God.
like almost go down a rabbit hole, but that's just an example where I think we do that pretty often, you know? We
Oh
don't even
yeah,
know it
with
when
the
we're
trends
scrolling.
like
Yes, with the
Ozempic. I'm like,
trends.
do I need Ozempic now? Like doing, I don't
Right.
know. It's just like for women, it's so like the pressure is just insane.
Yes, there is so much pressure, but I do think that when you filter out, and this is a big thing that's helped me, like filtering out who I follow and who I let in my space, because there's always going to be the people that are focusing on, you know, the fat loss and the this and that. And there's a time and place for that. Absolutely. Like you have to do what's best for you. But for me, it's triggering. So there's things that are triggering for me that I have to just not let into my space because energy is so precious
I
and
agree.
so precious. And honestly, even like now as a mom, energy has become in so important. Time and energy are like the two big things that have changed drastically since becoming a mom.
I can imagine. Because, I mean, even so, one of the things I actually recently was doing like an audit of in terms of like, again, like how best do I use my time and all these things. And now you have a literally another human who's relying on you versus you just relying on yourself to like make the business go and stuff. It's like you could time block all you want, but if your energy is super low or you're not fueling yourself or you're operating at a point of the day that doesn't work for you, like in your specific
Absolutely.
schedule, ain't nothing gonna get done. And then Bennett's not gonna have a good time either. Like it's just, you know.
No. And you know what's interesting is my business when I wasn't a mom wasn't doing as well as it is now as a mom.
Wait, really? Can you get into
Is
that? Like the
isn't that
difference between the two?
interesting?
I didn't. That's so. You would think the opposite because kids take up so much of your time, right?
Well, yes, and the corporate space thinks the opposite too because I also got laid off after a maternity leave. So we can get into that too. Which is crazy. But
Isn't
yeah.
that
I
illegal?
mean, I won't get too into it. It wasn't technically illegal. I spoke with a lawyer and like really dove deep into it, but it was 6 weeks from returning to work and they changed my role, but they gave me the same salary. So that was legal. Yeah.
Weird how they do things like that.
Weird how they go around all the loops and holes.
Yeah, so whatever.
But
Yeah,
yes,
go so
but
how did your
it was meant
business
to be that way.
change? Yeah,
Yeah. So
totally aligned. Yeah.
when I branded and came out with this idea, my first business, looking back, I'm like, it was so forced. I was doing too much. I carried over my ideas within dance of like needing to do more to get results. And I was drained. I was depleted. I was like so caught up in comparison. I didn't feel like I was worthy of the big dream that I had. And I believed in myself less than I actually did. And I think going into that corporate space, I needed to remove myself from that first business to be able to align myself again. So truly getting laid off was a blessing in disguise because it really allowed me to tune inward and think like, Jaden, what do you really actually want to do? Like, what kind of impact do you want to make on this world? So that's when Glow Movement happened. And we both know Rebecca. I started working with Rebecca, and that girl has impacted me immensely in
She's
just
got a
how
lot of
to,
fire and spice in her. She's got a little
yes.
magic.
Oh,
Yeah,
yes. She's incredible. So it's funny. We're actually college roommates.
which is
And
so
we,
funny. I
I
forgot. I thought
know.
you were here in Austin too. And then I remembered later on, I'm like, oh, wait, no, she's in Phoenix. She's not even in
Yeah.
Austin.
Yeah. So yeah, we met at U of A. We were roommates in our sorority house.
So
And we
funny.
kind of like, I was going through my thing. We kind of like separated paths and then we rekindled. But she has helped me just view things differently and things that I already knew inside, but I just haven't let shine because I felt like I had to do things like the way I used to. I used to have like 3 live classes a day and like do crazy things where it's like, why am I? Now it's quality over quantity. Less is more. Now it's like detaching from things so that I can have space for other things to enter my way. Now I'm like putting myself out there. I'm, you know, teaching in new places and I'm not scared to talk about what I do. Because it's like, if you don't talk about what you do, no one else is going to do it for you. Like I'm the founder.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the one that's here to share, you know, my big passion. And the only way it's going to impact is by talking about it. So huge shifts have happened from 2020 to now. And I think too, community has been a huge missing piece to the puzzle. I found networking groups in the area in Phoenix, and I'm just like surrounded by other entrepreneurs, which was something I never had before. And I think when you surround yourself with people that are in the grind, and I think you've talked about this on another podcast, just how it's glamorized. Like entrepreneurship is glamorized, but it's like the furthest thing from
it's so not sexy.
Pretty.
It's so disgusting. I like cry every other day. Like it's really not. I mean, I love
it.
I
wouldn't choose anything else, but
it's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an emotional roller coaster. So having people around you that you can talk to and connect with and learn from is so, so important. Because in the corporate space, I mean, you kind of have just built in mentors. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you seek it, of course.
Or at least like colleagues, like anyone to like
talk. Or colleagues to talk about, like, to like the drama or the this.
Just period. I mean, there are some days I would go and like not talk to any, unless I do a podcast episode, I wouldn't talk to people for days. Like it's a completely different
world. You can get so like in your lane and then it can feel so isolating.
Yeah. And then you're like, why am I even doing this? But
right.
It's interesting because
then the whys. Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Which they never really go away. Those big questions of like, what's the point? What are we doing? Like, why are we even trying to do this?
Oh, trust me. Monday, I had at least an hour where I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Because, you know, in business, there's great months, there's not so great months. And I had a lot of signups for me. I had about 20 new signups last month. And then I just kind of went silent for 2 weeks. And then it's easy in those moments to be like, to dissect and to start like going down that rabbit hole. And then you start thinking, am I doing enough? And I just have to rail it back in and be like, you're doing enough. And
more than enough.
The people that are out there, I trust that they are there. Like, I know that they are there. You know, it's just continuing to move the needle forward and to keep going and to take care of yourself.
Well, the interesting thing too that you bring that up is like right before we got on this, you were talking about the conversation of worthiness and how it's progressed over the years, right? Yes, with your relation to food, but also your work output, right? And the things that you do. And I'm having the same experience because when I first started, all the gurus were like, post on social this many times a day and you have to go live after you post and do that, and like all of this stuff. And I'm like,
so overwhelming.
What the fuck? Like, honestly, why I didn't sign up for this shit. This is not why I left corporate or any sort of comfortable sort of quite comfortable with air quotes environment to do this. I wanted to do it out of passion and here I am stressing and I'm not even making any money. Like, but now I don't know if you do the same thing, but I do more so. I will create posts and content when like intuition hits, when the idea comes. I'm like, cool, it was divinely guided. Like I have the idea. There was no pulling, no teeth pulling, no creative like ruts to go down. It was like, when the idea is there, you go for it and you do what you need to do. And like everything else, like Bennett comes first, my health comes first, like all the sleep comes first. And then honestly, like the clients come easier for whatever reason. Like, and it's funny because every business
100%
owner doesn't see that until at least 1 or 2 years, like at least 3 years into it. Like, like, wow, I could have done this all along.
Yeah. Such a similar situation on my end. Like I have to follow my gut. Like there, and I do everything in real time. And maybe sometimes that's not the most productive way, but it works for me. And I feel like it's authentic. Yes, it's effective and it's authentic. And I think everyone's so different. Like I went through this phase where I'm like, I'm going to post three. And this was actually recently. I was like, I'm going to catch the algorithm. I'm going to post 3 reels a day. And I started like creating this content plan. And then I was like, wait, Jaden, why the heck are you even thinking this way? Like, this is so not authentic to you. And audience sees that.
Well, it's like car salesmen. You can tell. You can sniff out that BS like almost immediately. And now you can see it on social because at one point you couldn't.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can feel people's energies through the screen.
But It goes back to, like, I think the beginning phases of business, you have to go through that explorative phase. And like the whole reason you're posting a lot, we think it's because it's the algorithm and like right. whatever it is, but it's mostly because we're experimenting and you need to find out what works and what you even also like. That. So right now, you know what feels good to you, but it's interesting because it never was about quantity. Because even my experience, I've had many viral videos, but like my biggest ones they still go viral to this day. And it was the thing that got me on the cover of the New York Times or got this client or whatever. Like all the other stuff is just, it's noise. Like it really didn't matter. So like doing less, like you said, is more, but those, like the beginning part, you definitely have to kind of go into that grind a little bit, or at least I think so. Everyone's different. But one of the things I did want to talk about is, because you mentioned before, right, that you're a bit better business owner because you're a mom now. And I think for many people, like myself included, like I'm like, how can I even make time to take care of another human being when me, myself, as a business owner, I'm just trying to get my shit together? Or even so, like if you're working by yourself, right, you don't have contractors or employees, like how could you possibly make more or do more by having a child? Like, can you explain, you know, talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's relatable to my clients and my audience too, because a lot of my members are moms or wanting to be moms. And I think just sharing my personal experiences and just being vulnerable about it too is great for, I think, everyone in like on my page and my Instagram. But I feel like when Bennett goes down to nap, I'm like, okay, what do I need to get done? What's urgent? And I'm working on getting rid of the noise, because there are some nap times where I'm like, oh, I didn't get as much done as I wanted. It's just like really showing kindness to yourself and compassion, because at this point I only have care once a week. So today is like my full day where I like really grind things out. But I will say, on my one day, I tackle so much. And I just think you're more productive because you don't really have a choice. Like,
yeah,
I remember at my corporate job, like there would be moments where I'm like, well, gotta stay clocked until 5. I don't really have much else to do. So I guess I'll just like stay online and scroll or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I don't have time for that anymore. So it's like, if I'm working, I'm working. If I'm with Bennett, I'm going to be present with him. And those pieces, I think, have really helped my business move forward. And also, like, my son has just changed my life. And like, I want to be present with him. So if I'm distracted by my phone or other things, I have to make those nap times work.
Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate you saying, because I myself, so my background is in teaching and I've always loved kids. Like I was a nanny, like it was the thing that helped me transition into being a corporate employee. And like, I want to be a mom. Without a doubt, I want to be a mom. Maybe not necessarily right now in the economic state of the world and what's going on, but I do definitely feel a calling to be a mom. But I'm also like super ambitious. Like I need something to fuel me from a passion perspective versus just being a mom, even though it's like second nature for me to be a nurturer. And like, I know the two of them together is really hard. And even like, I think actually you had mentioned, I don't know if it was you or like, maybe it was Rekha, but someone had mentioned how like an example of like Lily Allen, the famous singer Lily Allen, she said that you can't have it all and that having a kid actually ruined her career. And that's like one of the biggest fear points for a lot of women, especially like successful and women who want to do big things. Like, you know, you can't go to shoots or go on tour or do this, you know, write your book or whatever within just a 2-hour span of a nap time or like, you know, whatever it is. So like, I don't know. Can you touch on anything about that?
I think that's making excuses. I really do.
Okay. Go ahead.
Honestly, I do. I think that's making excuses. I think if you are passionate enough, you make the time for what matters, like period. You just do. And I mean, I could sit here and say, oh, I got to do the dishes. I got to go buy diapers. I got to go do this and that and that. And it's like, I can do that. I don't need to do that right now. Right now, my like focus is hitting X, Y, and Z for my business. And yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation. It's an interesting conversation because every woman is so different, and like hormones and all the things. I was feeling so fatigued postpartum. I've really like found my groove. It takes time to find your groove, especially as like a new mom. And I have no idea what it will be like going from 1 to 2. I like can't speak to that, but I will
terrible
say.
Terrible twos is a real thing. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. You just adapt. Like, I even remember like when Bennett was a newborn and waking up 5 times a night and still functioning the next day. I never thought my body could handle that. guess what? It adapted. Our bodies are, that's what happens when you have a newborn baby that needs to eat every 3 hours. You just make it work and you adapt. And if it matters, you'll make time for it.
With that being said too, you mentioned hormones. Like you don't work on hormones specifically within Glow Movement, right? I'm sure you touch on it, but you don't actually like go down that route, because it's super important for women.
It's super, super important for women. And I'm learning a lot about it right now. I would say the big thing for me that when I talk with other women about hormones is really just like your cortisol levels, your stress hormone. Mm-hmm. And that's what, I mean, low impact movement is all about, finding, you know, calm energy within your body. And there's of course going to be stress when you work out, but how do we move through it? How do we talk to ourselves in a way that will really empower us and strengthen us? So I would say like my workouts definitely help with those stress responses. I know for me physically, I feel so different. My clients feel so different. So I definitely don't have like a verse background within hormones, but I'm interested and I'm learning more actually in real time right now.
Yeah. Which I do want to get into in a second, yeah. But just to like reel it back for a second for listeners who are like,
absolutely,
let's say just starting their pivoting from like their, you know, what they used to, how they used to eat food and the disorders that maybe came from that and obsessive thoughts and the overtraining, and they're wanting to get more into this sort of low impact. What sort of workouts are underneath the low impact umbrella? And do you have any suggestions on like, I don't know if it's like food suggestions or things to look out for to help aid that transition so they can feel better in their body?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would start with taking any type of like beginner class, whether it's in bar, Pilates, anything that isn't like high intensity, I would start there. And then I would just start looking at your day, like what is making you feel good? Like, are you waking up in the morning and are you like getting on your phone right away? Or are you chugging a cup of coffee right away? Hydrating is so important to do first thing in the morning. And just lowering inflammation is so, so important.
It's so hard. I wouldn't say it's hard to do, but like I haven't gained weight, but the inflammation is the thing that drives me nuts. Cause I'm like, yes. I feel it in my face. I know this isn't fat, but like something triggered that my body to be inflamed. Like what? I don't want to feel this way. How do you get rid of it? And like, I can go to a class or sweat in the sauna, but ultimately it's whatever, right, I put in my body or however my body's reacting to stress. So like, actually,
for sure. Yeah. And you can internalize stress quite a bit. Like you can be more stressed than you even know, which is kind of crazy. So I think just doing the things that make you feel less stressed. And it's hard because there's so many things. It's like, try this supplement and do this and do that.
Everything.
And I think just keeping it simple, like hydration in the morning, get your movement in, get outside. The sun is fantastic for helping you balance out your hormones naturally, and just try to not turn to the processed food if you don't have to.
And it's hard, but I agree.
It is hard. It absolutely is hard. And especially too, because I love to cook, but I also don't always have the most time to cook because I'm wanting to put more time in my business. So there are moments where I'm like, just put the chicken nuggets in or put the pizza in. And we do the best we can, you know, we do the best we can. And it's like not being hard on yourself along the process. But I will say the more whole foods that you can get into your body, of course, the better you're going to feel. And I'm a big fan of intuitive eating. And that was like a big process for me going from, so I was diagnosed actually with an eating disorder, which I didn't even mention that, but I was in 2016. So from 2016 till now, I've really found like the beat of my drum to figure out what makes me feel good. What do I want to turn to today? Every day is so different. And I share those what I eat in a day to fuel my body videos and hope to inspire other people to try something new, because I don't know, it's easy to kind of get in a rut and just be okay with not feeling okay. Cause then you start to almost like, don't even know you're not feeling okay anymore, because that's just how
it's
you're
just
feeling.
It's just normal. Yeah, well, I feel like most people don't feel good. Most people are exhausted. Their skin is a mess. Their diet, their digestive system is a mess. People aren't pooping. Like, I mean, I've also struggled with a lot of that for a while too. And as a woman, your hormones change, whether you're on the pill, off the pill, having a baby, postpartum, like, I don't know, stress levels. Like there are so many things that influence the way that your body reacts. So it really is like you're playing scientist all the time. But
Yes.
I'm wondering, I know that you're not a doctor, but I'm wondering just out of curiosity, opinion wise, like what's your take on coffee for women specifically? Because I've heard mixed things that it's terrible for your hormones. I've heard it's okay so long as you get your like 30 grams of protein in the morning. Yeah. I've heard that it's like, nope, like just go with your matchas, don't have caffeine at all. So like, do you have any insight on that? Because like, I know the people listening
are like,
this is such
an interesting question. Yes, I love my coffee. I have a cup of coffee a day. I will say, so I'm experiencing some adrenal fatigue right now. And as of lately, and I'll be completely transparent with this, I haven't been following my own advice. And I've been drinking coffee in the morning before having any food. So I've been doing water and coffee and then my workout. And I have felt a difference. And I think I've been ignoring it. I'm the big thing about you just got to do what works for you. And of course, there's research and all of that. And maybe I'm kind of putting it aside, but also I love the taste of it. I mean, I would drink decaffeinated. I mean, honestly, I've had that thought where I'm like, maybe I'll try decaf. Are you
like a black coffee drinker? Or do you like make it pretty? Because that's not one thing too I've heard. Yeah, yeah. Can you tell us? Because, well, I mean, there's like some people are like, oh, coffee's the problem. And then a lot of people are like, no, it's what you put in the coffee, which I totally get if you're going to use like Coffee Mate fresh creamer, like, you know, like, so yeah.
I do raw honey, like from the farmer's market, and I do organic half and half.
I love that. You eat dairy. You're not like a gluten-free.
I do have dairy.
Oh, so I'm so jealous.
I am gluten-free. So I do have celiac, which, interesting, when I was diagnosed with my eating disorder, I also discovered I had celiac's disease all at the same time. So it was kind of like this crazy whirlwind of emotions of like, I've been saying I can't eat X, Y, and Z, but now I actually really can't eat X, Y, and Z for my own autoimmune health. So I am gluten-free, and that is like, that is just a lifestyle now. If I have gluten, it is a visceral response.
I have the same reaction. I don't think I necessarily have an allergy, but I can feel the inflammation literally as I'm eating it. I'm like this is going to take 2 days for my stomach to deplode. Like I can feel it. It's the worst.
Do you take magnesium at night?
I used to. I'm out of it. So I've been like scrimping a bit on my, which actually reminds me, I got to do it this morning. Yeah. I've been similarly to you. I felt that for a little while, I've been kind of off my routine of like what I know goes really well for me. Like the whole 30 sort of program, if you have to put a program name on something, works so well with me, right? Like I use my gluten-free stuff if I do have some sort of carbs, but it's mostly like vegetables, a good high quality protein, like a lot of water, like no additives, none of that stuff, but it can be kind of hard to do. But even now I've been doing kind of what you have of like, not recently, but for the past year and a half, like coffee consistently. Yeah. And I definitely have noticed a difference in my body.
Yeah.
Sucks. Cause like, I love being productive, but it's, you know, if I feel that way, it's probably bad.
I got 6 a.m. classes and there are just some mornings where I'm like, I need a cup of coffee, but it all is making sense because I'm in the process right now of getting my hormones checked, which if anyone listening is postpartum or just feeling any type of fatigue or whatever, go to a hormone specialist and get your hormones tested if you have the accessibility to do so. I think I don't know, in my brain at least, it's like until I'm in like going through menopause, I probably don't need to get them checked. But I think it is important to stay up to date with that because I discovered my thyroid is hypoactive. So I thought it would be hyper because I feel like I'm barely like, I am fatigued, but I feel kind of just, I can't describe it. I don't really feel like myself right now, but hypo is like the lethargic and the dry skin and like all these other things. So I'm in the works of figuring those things out. And it's always a process. And I think postpartum, these things can present itself. So if there's like inflammations maybe that are dormant in your body, after you have a baby, sometimes they like just come up to the surface. So that's what I'm dealing with right now.
That's like a hard thing too, is that there are sometimes the body becomes inflamed, not because there's something that happened immediately, but because like for whatever reason, it got drudged up again, whether you like go to the sauna and like something got released or like stress even. Like I noticed that even on my days where I was eating the cleanest, the stress of building a new business when I like wasn't making money and was trying to do this and doing like that itself was causing me to gain weight and have inflammation more so than the food that I was eating, which is like so infuriating because you're just like, I'm doing all the right things. And like, there's only so much you can do to reduce stress. Sometimes life is just stressful. Like 100%. It just is.
Your brain and gut work together. So if you're stressed up here, like digestion's not, it's going to be off. And that's why it's so important to have a practice to come back to and to have tools in your back pocket. And for me, that's low impact movement. That is like my home away from home. I always know I'm going to feel better. And like, despite maybe being in this little flow of the postpartum hormones, that makes me feel better. So it's continuing to do those things, even if you're maybe feeling out of sorts, and just doing the best. Honestly, it's like, that is like the word of my whole year is compassion, kindness, doing the best you can, because it's easy. At least for me, the perfectionist comes out where I'm like, oh, I have a hypothyroid. Oh, okay. Well, what can I be doing better? What can I, you know, nitpick for my routine? And it's like, okay, Jaden, just keep doing the things that are making you feel good, and just take note of the things that aren't, and approach it in a non-judgmental way, and then just start to slowly add the good things, and then the slow things will fade away. And that's what I tell my clients too, because I think when we fixate so much on needing to lose the weight and the inflammation and this and the that, we're almost just increasing our stress levels, which
You know what I mean? God.
Like that stuff's going to naturally happen as you take care of yourself and learn more about your body. So it's just like, where to put your energy. It all comes back to energy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of energy and like, you know, you mentioned using tools in your toolbox, right? Like reaching for the low impact movement and like maybe eating better foods or different foods for whatever time of the month it is or whatever stress you're dealing with. Yeah. You had mentioned before this call that you were going through a particularly rough and challenging part in life right now.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you can share that, if you feel comfortable sharing with it, and maybe how you're combating that with something, even because you haven't experienced something like this before. Yeah. Like, what are you doing to kind of navigate it?
Right. Absolutely. And so for listeners here, I experienced a miscarriage about 2 weeks ago, so on April 20th. And I've kind of had this little bit of fear within me that my second pregnancy would be more challenging. I think there's the fears are natural. Any like when you become a mom, it's like there's just these underlying fears. And it was definitely a tough moment because it was like I felt like my body kind of failed me. And I had such a healthy pregnancy with Bennett and everything went so smooth. And I was so grateful for that, that this was kind of a wake up call. And it's a weird feeling because the moment you find out you're pregnant, I feel like your whole perspective changes. You're all of a sudden like in this, I need to protect this baby mode. And then for you to just, I just woke up and then it, you know, baby was gone, right? So it was definitely a moment of like thinking I was going to think this way for 10 months and then it to not happen. And I think it's important that we talk about it because I know, I mean, I have so many friends in my life and so many other women in my life that have had one or multiple miscarriages. And the hormone drop after, I don't think is talked about enough. This is when I discovered this hypothyroid situation because I felt like my first trimester fatigue continued with me. Like it was like still continuing with me. So at that moment I was like, well, I need to go get things evaluated and checked and really advocate and ask questions. So I'm like, because I'm in the wellness space, I'm like, I want to learn more about what's happening. Like what really does the thyroid do? What are the functions? Like all this blood work I'm getting back, like, what does this mean? Like, so I'm diving into it and I'm open to share all this in real time with other women and hope that it might help someone else out there who's going through something similar or maybe is just super tired and can't explain why to just get to the root cause of it because you like life is so short to live feeling, you know,
crappy, literally terrible. Yeah.
And as sad as the miscarriage was, and I don't want to like any woman that goes through it, I like my heart goes out to you. And I felt like when it happened, I felt it for I'm such an empath and I felt it for me, but I also felt it for all the other women in my life. And cause we're more open about it in my friend circle. So we talk about it and having that support is so important. I can't imagine not having anyone to talk to about it because like my husband, I mean, it's just a different experience. Mm-hmm. Like the grieving is different, I think for him versus me. So having my girlfriends around me that have been through it too is super, super helpful.
Yeah. No, I've never experienced a miscarriage, but I'm like you, very empathic and a very emotionally connected creature. So I feel like something like that would really rock me to my core. And especially for women who, like you, have focused so highly on our bodies for almost our entire life, right? The way that we function, the way that our bodies look and operate, our productivity, like blended into everything, not just our personal life, but our professional life. And like, again, now being a mom and being in someone else's life, right? As a caretaker and as a spouse, like it probably feels like the world is like crumbling. You're like, how is it that I focus this much time and energy on perfecting the vessel that I live in? And I can't do this one thing that's very like natural to my body. Like I can't even imagine.
You're like, already doing it once. Already doing it once and having it go so smooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, wait, it was very just kind of shocking, honestly.
Other than that feeling of like shock of like, oh my God, I didn't have quote unquote success with this. And obviously the feeling of the hormones and things like that shifting. Is there anything that was unexpected in the experience that you weren't like expecting to happen, whether it was like changes in your business or just like, I think actually you mentioned you had some aha moments. Like, were those things that trigger that kind of?
For sure. I think there's just this trend in my life, and I think so many other people's lives, when things don't work out the way you plan, there's always a redirection and there's always a reason why. And maybe I think for some that could be considered toxic positivity, but for me, it works. So like, getting laid off, that was an example of like, that sucked, but it redirected me and I up-leveled. Mm-hmm. And then it was like this moment for me, I think it was like the universe's way of saying, okay, let's take a step back and let's really evaluate what's going on internally, which who knows how long I've had this thyroid problem. Mm-hmm. And not to say like the miscarriage, obviously it mattered, but it did point me into the direction of figuring out something else that I might not have known otherwise, you know? Mm-hmm. And thyroid is so important when you're pregnant. So it's so, so important to have optimal function of the thyroid, because I'm pretty sure it works in overdrive when you're pregnant. You need extra hormone. Yeah.
I always thought the thyroid was like the thing that regulates how you process, like, I don't know. When you hear like, oh, I have thyroid issues, people think, oh, it's because I'm overweight. Like there's some sort of correlation between the two or something like that. But you're saying it's for other stuff too. I'm not too familiar with the thyroid, but.
Yeah. And I'm learning more about it right now too. And from what I've like talking with friends and my OB is it's common postpartum, like, or not necessarily super common. It's a smaller percentage, but it can get inflamed after having your baby from these like such vast hormone drops. I think they, like, if you see a graph, it, like, literally right after you have a baby, it goes, like, all the way down. Because it's, like, this crazy hormonal shift. And then you start creating milk. And it's, like, oh, it is a wild, wild journey. And I think my body just needed more time. And, yeah, I think another moment for anyone listening of, like, if you feel like you need to be to a specific timeline because of, like, what society
age
says, like,
parents.
age, whatever it is. Like, I think in my head, I had this idea. And of course, we want more than one baby. And I have wanted them closer in age. But it's like, sometimes the things that like you envision and that you like you want, aren't always going to work out the way. And then it ends up working out better than you ever expected, generally.
Like your little rebrand from like, exactly, you know, to Glow Movement, you know, the shift is good old business and life mirroring. It's honestly I don't want to say it's unfortunate, but it is interesting how so many areas of our lives do mirror each other down to like who you decide to date or get married to. And it's like,
for sure.
I mean, it's great. And then also sometimes you're like, oh shit, I have to look this thing in the mirror that I really don't want to look at. And it's not pretty. Like I did a oopsie or a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's where the kindness steps in. I remember working at that tech company I was at as an executive assistant. And I had to really work through like making those tiny mistakes and letting people down, like not taking it so to heart and so seriously. Like I'm grateful I got that job. So it kind of laid into my lap, which I didn't really explain before.
Yeah,
I was just going to say,
how did you go from dancer to executive assistant? Because it's like, that's such a huge, you know.
Literally never been in the corporate space ever in my life. And I had a really good friend who was in the company and they were looking for an EA. And I was like, she reached out to me and she was like, I think you'd be perfect at it. And I'm like, sure, I'll interview. So interviewed, basically just talked about my business and like what I do. And then next thing you know, I'm getting this job offer. Never had a salary in my life, never had benefits, nothing. So I was like, I thought I hit the jackpot. I was like, I made it. Like, this is what everyone's talking about. Like, I can finally keep up with my friends and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And it was good. Like, it was good. And honestly, you, like, as an EA, you're in a room with high level and high performing
I loved executives. It. I really did. Like, I was so well respected, at least, right? The respect I got was based on the respect I had for myself. So it worked out really well. But I mean, if I could get to the place I wanted to be in terms of my finances, right, salary, even like responsibilities, I probably would have stayed for a while. But much like you, right, I hit a glass ceiling and it was my time to leave. I didn't get laid off, but it was like, okay, this is the clear indicator of like, we actually need to go into business because this isn't going to go the way we want.
Right, right. And I think too, as an assistant, it's a very humbling because you are basically there to help other people's dreams and goals come to life.
Which is like such a stab to the chest for us ambitious people. You know what I mean? Like,
it was hard. It was hard. And there were some moments where the expectations or a mistake that to me was like not a big deal was like a huge thing. And I just like kept thinking about the world as a whole. I'm like, there are people that don't have food, don't have like clean water, and we're complaining about not getting your Uber on time. Like,
yeah, beer on tap. There were just
moments where I'm like, what am I doing? Or what is my purpose here? And getting laid off it sucked, of course, because I feel like too, at that point, my husband and I, we were like starting to really vision the house and the car and like the things that we work so hard, and this kind of was like the next level to get us to that a little bit quicker than what we had additionally planned. And we started to kind of fall in love with that idea and that life. So it was definitely a shock to both of us. But now looking back, I'm like, thank God that happened, because I wouldn't be able to create the life that our family like so desires. Like, I'm spending time and quality time with my son. Like, I take my son to little like play dates around and we do things together. But the thing is too, is like, even like working with Rebecca about this, talking about my business with people, moms are the people I talk with, like capitalizing on the things I do with my son. It's a part of my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when you're so passionate about your job and your business, it just becomes a part of you and your life. And you share it because you genuinely just want to help other people and everyone's a portal, you know, so you never know who you're going to meet. And one person can change the direction of your business. My community builder friend, her name is Haley. She brings this up all the time. She's like, one person can change the direction of your business.
Oh, it definitely.
And you never know who that might be or who you'll run into. And I've seen it already in micro doses and it's cool stuff.
I can attest to that too. I've had definitely those sort of, they don't think that there's anything like special about the even a conversation we have or like the client who pays or like whatever, but it's in those small markers or even big markers that you're like, oh my God, this is like, not only is it an indicator of something's working and we need to keep going through that door, but just like, okay, 2 days ago I was crying because I didn't know what I was doing and why I was doing this. And now I have validation of like, okay, we need to keep going. Mm-hmm. And you kind of need that pretty often as a business owner, but we've kind of gone all over the map in terms of what we talked about.
I know, we touched on so many things.
Which is great. Like, I love it. This is a very real sort of conversation. And also for people listening, like, they want to hear the transitional pieces because they're like, I don't know how to get from this point to that point. And I don't know how to deal with the personal BS and the internal worthiness conversation that comes with all, especially as women, you know, through all of these transitions and stuff. But one of the things I like to do with every episode is we like wrap it up, right? Kind of talking about putting a bow over everything we talked about through this episode, this hour, is if you could give advice to your younger self, whether that was your, you know, you a month ago, a year ago, even little Jaden, 7-year-old Jaden who just started dance, what would that be?
I love this question because I feel like there are so many things I would tell my younger self. And I think about this all the time. I think the biggest thing I would tell myself probably in like my college years, I would say to not take things so seriously and to start to get to know yourself instead of trying to figure everyone else out. That was a mistake I made where I was like so caught up in what everyone else thought or what everyone else was doing And I would like get to this place where I'm like, well, what does Jaden like to do? Like, who is Jaden? And I think I would just tell her to cut out the noise and not take things so to heart and so seriously.
I had a similar experience, but that's why I became a business owner, right? It's just so, just so happened that it ends up being those sort of people. But
Oh, absolutely.
this has been really, really great.
Thank you for
Did
having
you have
me.
any like lasting words you wanted to share? I mean, that kind of wrapped it up, but.
I think the biggest thing as an entrepreneur, and because I'm 4 years into this thing and I'm just seeing the ripple effect begin, I would just say to keep going, and especially because I know a lot of the people listening are newer to the transition, is you have to just start. It's not going to be perfect. It's going to be messy. And just do, figure it out along the way, continue to move the needle forward. And yeah, you'll learn so much about yourself in the process, but it'll all make sense once you feel those little glimpses of hope or of transformation. Like, continue to hold on to those little glimpses because they're only going to get bigger and bigger. And it's going to make when things don't go right a little bit easier too.
I can agree to that. I just actually, today's my 3-year anniversary of Corporate Quitter. So I'm like,
I saw
oh my
that
God, we're
this
here. We hit
morning.
this. What?
I'm like, this had to be a crazy coincidence because I booked this. I mean, one, this is like kind of could have booked this a while ago, but I was like, something about May 1st just feels right. So I booked May 1st and then come to find out it's your 3-year anniversary. So I'm like so honored to be chatting with you on this day. It's such a special day. So congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But just like you, it's funny because today I'm reflecting on a lot of things naturally. And it took until the 3-year period. Like now I'm starting to finally get my business organized. And like I'm actually starting to see the fruits of my labor, the things I've been praying, hoping, and like tirelessly working on for years come to fruition. Whether it's like the money, the connections, the validation, the worthiness, the like, flexible schedule, like I don't know. It doesn't happen as quickly as you'd like it to, but it's now I'm seeing like, oh, it was worth it. Like I'll pay off the debt and I'll figure out the programs and like now it's on the easier side, quote unquote, right?
Absolutely.
Everything's harder, right? New level, new devil. But yeah, so
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations. That's a big milestone. And
thank you.
yeah, I think we forget that it takes, I mean, you hear some overnight successes and you're like, at least for me, I'm like, oh, come on. Like, there's no way.
They're
And
BS at this point. Like, there's
it's
so
the,
much in the making that happens to get to that point.
yes. And I think the more you know yourself, the faster your business, I really do think will press forward when you really know your why and your values and your mission and all of that. But also at the same time, it's just like the patience and the consistency. So exactly what you're saying is exactly how I'm feeling right now, 4 years in. So
Look
yeah.
at us doing the
Look
thing.
at us doing it. I love it.
But anyway, thank you so much for coming on. For those listening, you can look at the show notes for any and all of Jaden's information. This will also be available on YouTube if you guys want to watch along, if you haven't already. But thank you so much for coming on. This is really wonderful and super special.
Yes, thank you so much. And I would love to give any of your listeners 2 weeks free so I can send you
Oh,
that link
yay.
as
Okay,
well.
cool. Okay, so that'll be in the show notes too.
Yes,
Awesome. Thank you.
absolutely.